Are the hospitals full of COVID patients?
Hospitals are pretty much full of people that have been vaccinated and returning to the hospital due to that vaccination.
So you're telling me there's a lot of people who got vaccinated are in the hospital right now?
Yeah, not just in St. Michael's, but all over the world. That's who's coming back to the hospital this time of year when the hospitals should be at their lowest, people that are vaccinated.
So what you think took on people like the chief medical officer for the health here saying that the ICUs are being strained right now? Would you tell me, is that a lie or is that true?
That's a lie. It's like walking down their day.
An emergency.
There's no overflow. No.
There's no overflow of COVID-19 patients.
No.
So basically the chief medical officer of the hospital here and Dr. Davila or whatever her name is, the world you health bullcrap conspiracy idiot, whatever.
Eileen Davila?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I call it.
Do you think she's full of shit?
I think she's a liar and she's got pretty much a satanic mindset.
When are you gonna lose your job?
If anything, probably another month from now. I'll die for this cause. Hands down.
Working as a healthcare assistant for the NHS. I don't need the uniform to prove that I work for them, but today I'm publicly resigning, okay? I'm wearing this uniform, sadly, for the last time. I love my job, okay? I absolutely loved it. Those of you that have been following what's going on, we've done talks, we've organised protests, I've had a lot of flack. I'm at the point now, it's all coming back to me. I've had an email from work last night asking me what's going on. People are reporting me, and unfortunately, I can't lie anymore. The email is asking what's going on, and how can I lie? I did something really bad. I took a screenshot on Friday that shows the figures of how many people are in Trelisk Hospital with COVID, and I shared it, because this should be public information, okay? I can tell you that on Friday, in Trelisk, there were 3 people in with COVID. No extra deaths, 3. And that covers Trelisk, West Cornwall and Hale Hospital. The total deaths from these 3 hospitals in 7 months is 76 people. That's about 10 people a month over the last 7 months, and we have locked down. Lots of people have to start speaking out. There's lots of doctors and nurses that have come forward. They're all on restrictive duties. They're all seeing solicitors, etc. Well, I've decided there's no point. I have gone against the rules within the NHS. I have shared confidential information that people need to see. Okay? I'm not the sort of person that finds lying easily. I can deny it and say someone's done a screenshot, added my name. But they're going to get a letter, and they're going to get a letter saying why I shared it. Because as much as I've always loved our NHS, it's no longer our NHS. It is run by the corrupt government and the other people running this country. Yes! We no longer have healthcare. We can't see dentists. Okay, I can tell you now, when I was working at the height of the pandemic, I had no work for 3 weeks because there was no patients. Okay, we have a particular COVID ward. None of the wards were overflowing with COVID patients, and they're not now. The mainstream media have filled you with fear. So the cases in the hospital, there's 3 people in Trelisk Hospital with COVID. That was on Friday. Okay, and do lots of you know that the flu and COVID cases are now combined as the same thing? Okay, if you died with COVID within 28 days, that goes on your death certificate. You might all realise as well that the flu numbers, they've gone right down. Where have they gone? The PCR tests, they were not designed for diagnosing this disease. 94% of them are false positives.
Up the numbers?
So,
how do you know?
Because I work in the emergency room. I see it.
What are they doing?
Anybody that comes with a respiratory issue, they don't test them, they say positive COVID. I'm working in the emergency room. They talk about the front line, like I'm literally in the front lines. I'm seeing it. I worked 13-hour shift yesterday. the numbers are not coming out the way they're saying them.
So if people are dying with something else, are they treating it just as COVID?
People die all the time. But now somebody dies of a respiratory issue and they didn't test them with COVID, they're saying COVID. They put it on their death certificate, which is bullshit, because I'm the one saying, like, they didn't even test for COVID. So, yes, they're hyping the numbers up. Easily to hype them up.
Are the hospitals more busy?
Excuse me?
Is the hospital more busy?
No, it's less busy, but they're paying more for COVID patients. So the federal government, as you know, a lot of people know, they're paying for the COVID intubated patients and the people that are just getting treated. So they're getting more money for those than getting regular patients, Medi-Cal, Medicare. That's what's happening.
Thank you.
1 week after getting fired from his job as an emergency room nurse for refusing vaccination, Brad McDowell is speaking out, and he wants the world to know that what he saw in the hospital is very different from the story being told.
The narrative that we're being told didn't really line up with reality.
Brad is just one of thousands of healthcare workers in the country that have left their jobs or been fired. And that is what has created the worker shortage. So when you bring a patient in here, as we did my mother-in-law last week, they tell you we don't have any beds at the hospital. And they tell you that it's because of COVID. Well, the truth is, it doesn't have anything to do with actually every bed in this hospital being full. They just don't have enough staff to attend the beds that are open.
They can't open a bed that they don't have a nurse and a tech to staff. They can't open those beds. I can tell you that all those beds are not open. I know that for a fact at Valley Health, that there are beds closed. And they're saying they're at capacity, but it's not because there's not enough beds. It's not because of the patient load. It's because of the workforce load.
Brad's religious exemption was denied by Valley Health of Winchester, Virginia. And unbelievably, they are sticking by their claim that it's all about keeping patients safe, while many of those same patients are turned away or sent to other hospitals.
Hi, my name's Kirsty. I'm a staff nurse. I'm a Band 5 RGN. I worked in the NHS. Tonight I'd done my last shift on the bank. I resigned from my post. I could no longer be part of the lies and the corruption by the government. The hospitals aren't full. The beds aren't full. Beds have been shut. Wards have been shut. Very little people have passed, and I am so sorry to every person that's passed.
Are they overworking you inside there, man?
No, I work down at work with it.
It's bad?
It's not as bad as you think.
It's not as bad as I think?
Yeah, it's strange. I don't want to say one way or another,
But I see on TV that, you know, it's chaos.
You know, everything you see on TV, someone paid me.
I'm going to switch it off. Because I come here and everything is normal.
I run the trauma center down at Kings County, and the deaths that we're seeing, everybody who dies has coronavirus on their death certificate. Everybody who ends up having anything go wrong has coronavirus on their death certificate, and they're bringing in a bunch of people from out of town. You get doctors coming in from Nebraska who don't know what the hell they're doing. A lot of people die because of that. I don't know if it's coronavirus or if it was just a breakdown of the health system and we finally scared ourselves to shitless. It's very bizarre, and I don't want to comment on it. But
man, keep yourself safe. You sound like you have a good head.
And I see how they've misrepresented the truth on COVID, the truth on the testing. For instance, at my facility, I work at the biggest skilled nursing facility here in Oahu, and I work with the geriatric population. The people that were moved to the COVID unit didn't have COVID. They tested positive with the PCR test, but most of them were asymptomatic and only suffering from their pre-existing conditions. None of them had exacerbated symptoms. Most of them weren't sick other than what they were already dealing with, end-stage renal failure, diabetes, COPD, congestive heart failure, things of that nature. I also saw how some of the hospice patients that were moved to the COVID units that died of terminal illness were actually put on the COVID death list, which is complete fraud. And facilities were facilitating this and doing this the whole time. More people survived and had no issues and were asymptomatic that were well into their 80s and 90s than that passed away. My entire experience on these COVID units, I think there were 12 deaths, and none of those deaths could fully be attributed to COVID. It was all pre-existing conditions or terminal illness. A lot of the patients that I treat are suffering from stroke and heart attack, hip replacement, knee replacement, things of that nature. So when these people get admitted to the hospital, they have to take a PCR test first. So someone experiencing a heart attack will be picked up by the ambulance, taken to the hospital. The hospital will administer a PCR test. If the PCR test comes back positive, they admit this patient as a COVID patient. They don't admit them as a heart attack patient. They don't admit them for myocardial infarction. That's kind of weird. I've had stroke patients that I've treated that were admitted to or taken to the hospital for stroke, but when they get there, PCR test says positive, so they're labeled as a COVID admission. Even though when they were there, they were never treated for COVID, they were asymptomatic, and they were only treated for their stroke. So there's just this huge misrepresentation, just a complete fraud with this system, with the healthcare system. I worked as a director of rehab for 5 months at another skilled nursing facility here in Kalihi on Oahu. And at that facility, during my time as being the director of rehab, I seen where the billing department would have my therapist change the ICD-10 medical diagnosis billing code from pulmonary disorder or COPD to COVID because of higher reimbursement. Now, these people were asymptomatic. Some of them may have had a positive PCR, and some of them didn't have a positive PCR test, but we were still forced to change those ICD-10 diagnosis codes to a COVID code because we get higher reimbursement for those patients. So it's just fraud on every level. Just higher reimbursement in medical facilities for someone that's labeled COVID. Whether you treat them for COVID or not, you're gonna get higher reimbursement. I know this for a fact. They're not gonna be allowed to be triaged or admitted until they have PCR. And if that PCR comes back positive, that person, if they're having a heart attack, a cerebral vascular accident, anything, is gonna immediately be labeled COVID instead of what they're truly experiencing. Absolutely. Yep, I've treated patients with heart attack that told me, yeah, I had a heart attack. My neighbor found me. They called the ambulance. The ambulance picked me up, resuscitated me, brought me back to life. I went to the hospital. The hospital wouldn't admit me until I had a PCR test. The PCR test came back positive. I was no longer considered heart attack or myocardial infarction. I was considered COVID from that point on. Even though they were never treated for COVID, never administered any therapeutics for COVID, treated for their heart attack, sent to our facility so we could rehab them for those, the weakness and stuff caused by their heart attack. But when they come in on our medical history, we see them as a COVID admission. So it's just this weird fraud on every level, man. And that's how we're getting these spike numbers in COVID, is because heart attack, COVID. Cerebral vascular accident, stroke, you know, a bleed in the brain, COVID. Like everything's coming back COVID. Broken hip, positive PCR, COVID.
Minnesota Senator and Dr. Scott Jensen says he received a 7-page document from the Minnesota Department of Health on how doctors should go about filling out a cause of death certificate. The letter from the Minnesota Department of Health gives advice to physicians, physician assistants, and others who certify deaths. The doctor says the letter takes you to a CDC website that has recommendations on how to include COVID-19 as a diagnosis for someone who has never tested for COVID-19.
Say I have a nursing home patient who's frail and 88 years old and comes down with a cough and a fever, and after 3 days ends up passing away from pneumonia. I'm not going to put influenza on that death certificate. So I doubt that I would be inclined to put COVID-19.
One of the scenarios listed under the CDC guidance for certifying deaths due to coronavirus says, although no testing was done, the coroner determined that the likely underlying cause of death was COVID-19, given the patient's symptoms and exposure to an infected individual.
Doctor, I want to read for our viewers what the CDC says in part about how to count COVID deaths. In cases where a definite diagnosis of COVID cannot be made, but is suspected or likely, like the circumstances are compelling with a reasonable degree of certainty, it is acceptable to report COVID-19 on a death certificate as probable or presumed. So, doctor, what's the problem with that?
Well, in short, it's ridiculous.
Can you repeat what you just said, please?
Well, last Friday, I received a 7-page document that sort of told me that if I had an 86-year-old patient that had pneumonia but was never tested for COVID-19, but sometime after she came down with pneumonia, we learned that she had been exposed to her son who had no symptoms but later on was identified with COVID-19, that it would be appropriate to diagnose on the death certificate COVID-19. Now, we've not done that. If someone has the pneumonia after, and it's in the middle of a flu epidemic, and I don't have a test on influenza, I don't diagnose influenza on the death certificate. I will say this elderly patient died of pneumonia.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but my heart is sinking right now as you're telling me this. You're a doctor.
Your Florida hospital was literally having to furlough people.
Yes. What was happening is obviously they shut down all elective procedures. But they were also waiting for the wave. They called it the wave. So we were preparing and we were in tiers based on our experience. So we were tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. And I was tier one because I have the, you know, military trauma experience, ICU experience, so on and so forth. So I was working, you know, throughout the hospital, training in other units, cross training. Ultimately, it was to get hours, you know.
It was what?
It was to get hours.
Yeah.
You know, this is what the hospitals were doing. They're like, okay, we're going to give our employees hours this way to cross train them for when the wave hits. And then that wave would get pushed back another week, and then it get pushed back another week, and the units that we were floating to, like cross training, they're like, what are you doing here? We don't need you. You know, so I felt like I was wasting my time and taking up other people's time that were trying to get ours too. And this opportunity presented itself and I took it.
Do you think that the reason you never got a COVID wave in Florida was because of any of this lockdown? Or, I mean, I know you're not an epidemiologist,
no,
but what do you think was going on?
I live right by, and that was like worldwide news. People were at the beach. I was one of those people at the beach with my kids. Sunlight, it's vitamin D. It's good for your immunity. Fresh air, salt water, all these things are really good for anyone's, you know, immune system. You have to be out. Mental health, you know, we were all at the beach.
And so people, if there was a lot of transmission going on.
Wouldn't you think our hospitals would be flooded? They're not. I'm right at the beach. I'm right by the beach. Didn't happen.
Because the lockdowns happened after all that, and
it was spring break, you know, the beaches were packed. I mean, there's people from all over the world. Like, tons of New Yorkers live by us.
I know I'm asking you to speculate here, because you really feel there is something, a new disease called COVID-19, a new, do you feel that that's the case, or do you think that this is, I mean, I know there's a lot of mislabeling and I know all that, and but there really is something new, right? And
yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how, why do you think it, you know, places like New York got, well, okay, we can see that what you were describing at Elmhurst was that they were packing people in together. And so that would cause spread. But why do you think a place like New York got hit so much harder than other places?
I thought about that already. What I found is that before this happened, because it didn't make sense to me. I'm like, I'm sitting at home. I'm waiting for work. I'm stressing out. a lot of my friends are doing the same. So I'm like digging and like, why is New York like, what is it? Because there's that many people crunched in together. But ultimately what I found is that the hospitals here were already struggling. I think they shut down like multiple hospitals because they couldn't afford to keep them open. So that made sense to me, even though I didn't want it to make sense. You know, like, there's really no other rhyme or reason, because, like...
But do you think we really do have many more cases, regardless of whether or not, you know, people went to the hospital?
I think they're forced cases. I mean, sure, people are coming in with COVID, whatever that may be. It is something. But not everyone, but they're admitting these people. That's the difference between New York hospitals or these, you know, Michigan, you know, the states that were, you know, hit the hardest, quote. They're admitting these patients as possible COVID, calling it COVID.
Or rule out COVID.
When they maybe just had a little congestion.
Basically, every scenario that comes across our desk now has COVID on it. Even if people aren't tested, if they have a cough, if they have a flu symptom, it's basically considered COVID.
So the agency that I went through was funded through FEMA. So when we first got there, I sat for 3 days. The people before me that were there sat 18 days with no assignment. Meanwhile, it's a pandemic, right? You know how much we were getting paid over there? $10,000 a week. Now, is that hush money? I don't know. But that $10,000 a week doesn't mean anything to me when they're essentially murdering people in these hospitals.
And that's $10,000 okay. Per person, right?
Well, I was making, with this agency, along with every other 1,000 nurses that got pulled, you know, into this pandemic there, $10,000 a week, per week, to work.
Per person.
If you sat in the hotel.
Correct. I was making money every single day. There were some people there almost 20 days making $10,000 a week. So why is there this mismanagement of FEMA funds?
FEMA put nurses in hotels. But what was coming out of Governor Cuomo's mouth was that we don't have enough personnel. We need more nurses. We need more respiratory therapists. These people were already sitting up in a hotel, yeah. And what they did was, it sounds like, and you just let me know, that they make your environment so chaotic, meaning you could have 100 patients, but it was only 10 of you all treating them.
Yes.
Okay. That was intentional.
Yeah.
So what they did was, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic, they manufactured the crisis in the hospital by overloading the nurses where they're swamped. But you have nurses sitting up in hotel rooms collecting money, government money, FEMA money. And it's not their fault.
Right.
It's the way that they did the system.
Yeah. And they also.
I'm a registered nurse, and I know this is all fake. I'm a district manager registered nurse. I go to every facility in my district. Okay, so this whole thing has nothing to do with COVID. This is a new world order government trying to take over California, and we just don't want to stand for it anymore. We had almost 200 people down on the beach in Laguna Beach yesterday.
I mean, do you think any of these guys right here want to be enforcing the beach closure?
Well, why do there's some people in some of the other parts of California and other parts of the other states that are not enforcing it.
I know.
You know, so when do you stand up? You know, I keep hearing this excuse from everybody, even at the hospitals, because I'm a district manager, RN.
Okay.
And I tell them the tents are completely empty. There's never been anybody in them.
Right.
And the ERs are empty because they're not doing any elective surgeries. They're only doing emergencies. There's nobody in the waiting room. There's nobody hardly in the ER. So when do people stand up and fight against? Because doesn't this remind you of Hitler when all of his minions got in trouble after the war because they, you know, killed all those Jewish people and they said they were just doing their job? Is that what we're all going to do? Are we all going to just say, oh, we're just doing our job? I'm in the same position. I could get fired for what I do at the hospitals because I videotape there.
Right.
But you know what? Somebody has to stand up and say, we're not going to lie about this anymore.
Right.
Influenza A and influenza B has killed 45,000 people in the United States this year alone. COVID only 7,000. So you shut down. Look at the numbers. It's a lie. Somebody has to stand up. That's the only thing I'm doing,
is somebody has to stand up. I am an RN district manager, and I'm telling you that every single tent is empty. The hospitals are almost empty because I'm trying to get all my patients home because there's no visitors allowed. So that means my patients are dying of brain cancer, lung cancer, etc., not COVID-19. In the hospital because they can't get the care. Because right now they're only allowing the RN or the doctor in, not the family. And we stopped the whole country over this. We stopped the whole country. This has nothing to do with COVID. This whole close down has nothing to do with COVID. I can personally attest to that. I've seen fake nurses lying on the news that aren't even real nurses. And the reason I know is because I'm a district manager and I go to the same facility. So they're lying. They're making up numbers that aren't there. I have had two patients that got COVID with lung cancer and the other one had Alzheimer's and they both survived and they were both in their 80s. But, you know, I do the testing. I test my patients if they have symptoms. But the numbers are incorrect that they're feeding us.
So good morning. I have a story to share with you in regards to COVID and how much it's being used to control and manipulate us. We're all being lied to. My grandmother at the age of 92 just recently passed away yesterday morning due to congestive heart failure in her home. We know for a fact it was congestive heart failure because she was in the hospital a few weeks prior, had all kinds of tests done and her heart was failing. She wanted to pass away at home. She told the doctor she was going to sign herself out and walk home. She was pretty sure she could make it. And my grandmother was pretty feisty. She was one hell of a woman. Anyway, coroner enters in the picture yesterday after she passes and informs my father, hey, if you put this down as a COVID death, the government will pay for her funeral services. Yeah. Don't tell me COVID's not being used to manipulate, to control us, and we're being lied to, because we are. And this is someone from home that passed away. Imagine what the hospitals are doing.
I wanted to share something with you guys. When my dad passed away, which is over a month now, they put COVID-19 on his death certificate. I want to share this with you because I think it's really important. My dad died of Alzheimer's. He has been dying of Alzheimer's for the last 10 years. The doctors actually told us that he would die like 5 years ago. The only reason that, you know, his lifespan has extended to 10 years is because we really researched into nutrition. We really researched a lot into how to keep him as healthy as possible. And he was in the home with us. So when he passed away and we got the death certificate back and it said COVID-19, we were not happy. I was like, contact the doctors. That needs to change because it's false information. There's been no testing, nothing. We spoke to our family doctor who told us that orders from higher up in the NHS, because my father's in the UK, they said orders from higher up is anybody who dies during this time, we have to put COVID-19 on the death certificate. Our family friend, a few weeks before my dad died, our family friend had a heart attack and he died. He has a history of heart disease. He also had on his death certificate, they put COVID-19. His family were livid. They were like, he didn't have COVID-19. He died of a heart attack. He has a history of heart problems. They were told the same thing from their family doctor, that orders from higher up, anyone who dies at this time, we have to put COVID-19 on the death certificate. Like, they are highly pressured.
If somebody is admitted to a hospital they're asymptomatic with a broken leg, for example, and require hospitalization and they're tested and they are asymptomatic but test positive, are they included among the statistics of those in hospital with COVID?
Yes, they are. If they have tested positive, then they're...
Okay, so the reason they were admitted may not have been COVID, they may have been admitted with a broken leg or a heart attack or something unrelated to COVID, they are classified as being in hospital with COVID. They're included in the stats of those who are hospitalised with COVID at the moment.
They are included in the surveillance statistics, yeah.
Great, thank you. And they're the statistics that are relayed at the daily press conferences. Yeah, okay, thank you.
That's right.
The only reason, I guess, the coronavirus is going down is because everybody's...
People are staying home, but, you know, the numbers were a little, in my opinion, a little fudged anyway, so that was just a scare tactic to get people to stay home longer.
Really?
Yeah.
So they weren't even testing a lot of people? They were just, if people were passing away or whatever, they were just saying they were getting coronavirus?
Because the hospital was getting paid from that.
To get financial funding for it.
Hello, everybody. My name is Nicole. I am an ICU nurse, and I have been a COVID crisis response travel nurse since April of 2020. But you are being lied to, and I think that people need to know this information. So I want to talk to you about the case numbers and the testing and how completely artificially inflated they are. So the gold standard for testing is the PCR tests. And the way that these tests are done is that it is essentially, there's different levels of sensitivity that you can set it. And those are called cycle thresholds. You know, you have been led to believe that there is a massive crisis. Let me just go with that. You have been led to believe that there was a massive crisis then and that there is a massive crisis now. And, you know, I just want to show you, because all these mandates are popping up all over the country and they are painting this picture that there is a huge crisis. So when they tell you, when they have the media freaking everybody out by all these case numbers and how overwhelmed everything is, there's not really a crisis. They are manufacturing this to facilitate fear and panic in everybody, and people are just falling for it, and here we are. So let's talk about the inflated case numbers. So the PCR test, the way that they're done, like I said, is a sensitivity test where they can set the cycle thresholds in order to detect the presence or absence of a virus. The creator of the PCR test said that this is not a diagnostic test and that they should not be used for that, and yet they were. And so what we were seeing, you know, in the beginning we were seeing all of these false positives. People were being tested multiple times because we knew that the testing didn't line up with what we were seeing clinically. You could look at a person who came in for a broken leg and they would test positive and, you know, it doesn't match up with what we were seeing. So they had set the sensitivity so high that when you set it that high, you can pick up the tiniest little molecule particle of something that could be floating in the air, or somebody who had COVID 3 months previously or had an asymptomatic case 3 months ago, and it was being picked up on these PCR tests, which were being run in, you know, areas where they were doing thousands of tests a day, positive tests and negative tests. So we were getting all of these false positives, and that affects the case numbers, the hospitalizations, and the deaths. Everybody who went into the hospital was tested for COVID, and if they happen to have a positive test, they count in that hospitalization number. All of those false positives also count in that hospitalization number, and this applies to the deaths as well. Anybody who, like I said, anybody who came into the hospital, whether they, you know, got into a car accident or if they were shot in the streets, we tested them for COVID, and those who tested positive were considered a COVID death. And there is a very big difference between dying with COVID and dying from COVID. Multiple government officials have stated that anybody who tests positive with COVID is considered a COVID death. And George Floyd died with COVID. You think COVID killed him? I'm not saying COVID isn't real, and I'm not saying that there are not people who were hospitalized and had positive cases and that there weren't people that died from it, because there certainly were. I've been in 8 hospitals across 4 states since this started, and I went to New Jersey first, and it was busy. And yes, New York got hit hard, but most hospitals across this nation were fine. And further than that, they were actually empty, because they canceled all non-emergent surgeries, and they, you know, because there was this big massive freak out, nobody was coming into the hospital because they were afraid they were going to catch COVID there, and that has had long detrimental effects. But most hospitals reported massive losses this year, and so there were financial incentives. You know, hospitals were getting money from the government to take care of COVID patients. So I have personally seen people walk into the hospital from their house two blocks away, incidentally test positive for COVID. Oxygen saturations are 98% on room air, their labs look completely fine, and they admit them. Oftentimes those patients are put into actual, like, COVID wards with actually infectious people. The, you know, the media has spun this and they have created so much fear. And, you know, everybody is scared to leave their house because they are convinced that they're going to get COVID if they go anywhere. When in reality, you know, there are 330 million people in this country, and I think there's 35 million cases so far. That's about 10%. And if you count in the false positives, it's even less than that. And yet everybody is afraid to leave their house. They're, you know, given up their lives basically for the last 18 months.
This guy's an undertaker.
Are you doing
and
your way?
What do you think about the pandemic?
God, where can you start? There is so much information out there, reliable information, that it's a complete hoax and a farce anyway. Covert agenda is so blatant. You've only got to do a modicum of research and that will reveal itself for what it is. I'm very lucky with my academic background and my job as well, that the truth of what's going on is very clear to see.
And you work with dead people, so
I do. Yep, I am a funeral director.
You
that's
can
correct.
See that there's not really anything pandemic-like going on in that world?
No, not at all. I mean, having, you know, I liaise with the medical industry on a regular basis. I'll give you a very quick example. Last August, I arranged a funeral for a paramedic, and he informed me reliably from the word go that everybody who was going into his ambulance and then being taken out was going down as COVID automatically.
Regardless of what?
Regardless of suicide, road traffic accidents, falling down the stairs, everyone. Another important thing to mention as well, and you may know this, the watchers may know this, October the 8th or the 10th, I believe, the BMJ, British Medical Journal, said legally now that anybody who dies from flu automatically goes down as COVID.
They've rebranded the flu. And they're just making it up. They are just making it up. They're attributing any old death to COVID. People do die, it's sad, but they're attributing any old death to COVID. It's not okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good luck.
So this image here will show you the current case definition. So currently, a confirmed case of COVID-19 was considered confirmed if there was a positive PCR lab result for COVID-19, meaning if they got the swab testing done and it came back positive, that would be what we counted as a case towards COVID-19. If you didn't have lab results, if you just had symptoms, we could not count you as a case. So regardless of the contact you may have had with a confirmed case or symptoms, if there was no testing, you were not counted as a case. So in this image, we have the confirmed case and their possible contacts. And the total cases out of this is only one. The new case definition. So for confirmed case, it stays the same. You still just need PCR. But now they've added a probable case definition. So that still gets counted towards the case count. It's different. It's not confirmed. It's probable, but it's still a case. Meaning if you use another testing method, not PCR, and if you have close contact with a confirmed or probable case, and if you did that lab work that was not a PCR, you could be considered a case with or without symptoms. They also updated the definition for deaths related to COVID-19. Previously, prior to this definition, it was only if you had a positive PCR result that you would be counted as someone who died related to COVID-19. Now that lab testing is no longer required to be counted towards that. So this is a different options that we have for probable case definition. So if you do the FDA-approved testing, which right now is serology, looking for antibodies, mm-hmm. IgG, IgM, you have to have the clinical criteria
And if you don't have that, and then you have the EpiLink, then you could still be counted as a case. So if we look at the yellow box here, that's the approved testing, right? If yellow, you have the test, and then you have any of the blue, you're a probable case. If you're yellow and you have any other close contact, which doesn't mean you're sick, you're a probable case. And then if you're out, if you don't do any of that lab work, and then you get sick and you were a contact of a case, you are then counted as a probable case. So the clinical criteria that they have defined is at least two symptoms of fever, subjective or measured, chills, rigors, myalgia, headache, sore throat, new smell and taste disorders, two of those, or one of cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, or evidence of pneumonia without an alternative diagnosis and severe respiratory distress. So there's many ors. You have to be a close contact of someone who's a confirmed case of COVID-19 or a probable case, or you came to a location where it's endemic. Right now, Texas has stated that they are considering the state as an endemic area. So that means if I just went and got serology testing done with no symptoms and I was positive, whether it's saying that recent infection or current infection, my new antibodies, or it's like I've had them for a while, I would be counted as a probable case. So basically, these three boxes, you can be yellow and blue without green to be counted as probable, yellow and green without the blue, and then blue and green without the yellow. But for the blue and green, if you had contact, that has to be within 14 days. So let's say activity dies down, slows down, and we're not considered endemic. Then we need that 14-day. But right now, that 14-day doesn't matter. Moving forward, it may, when activity slows down. So at the end of this definition, there are 15 different options on how you could be classified as a probable case. Okay, so that same scenario, a little bit more extended. Now if we look at it with the new probable case definition, where some individuals had the FDA-approved testing of IgM, IgG, some individuals just had contact with someone who is classified as a COVID case, whether they are confirmed or probable. So at the end of this, based on this diagram and what they report, there's a total of 17 cases now. One is still only confirmed because that was that original index case who then had all these contacts underneath in orange. And all the rest of them became probable, but they are still considered a case. So.
Very good. Thank you for that. Yeah. So just to recap, this is going to be this has the potential to be a very significant event for us here in Texas and here in Collin County, as the state now has elected to adopt this new probable definition. If you'll go back one, Mr. Billu, as it's displayed there on the chart there, the yellow box, the blue boxes, and the green boxes. If you have any two of those three colors, then you will meet the definition of probable. And in the yellow, you even have a positive IgG, IgM, or AG test, any of the antibody tests, then that satisfies that. Mm-hmm. And then the blue, the different clinical criteria to satisfy the blue boxes. And then in green, the epidemiological linkage criterion criteria to satisfy the green boxes. What's remarkable is if you were to talk about all of the options there to meet those different boxes, perhaps the lowest hanging definition or combination is one that satisfies the epidemiological linkage by residing in any area where there's sustained ongoing community transmission. And as Aisha explained, that right now Texas is considered an endemic region. So all of the residents of Collin County already satisfy the green boxes. By virtue of the fact that they live in Collin County, they already satisfy the green. Now they only have to satisfy one of the blue boxes or one of the orange-yellow boxes, and they will be considered probable. if you look at the blue boxes, now, again, we talked about the orange, yellow boxes. That's a test, an antibody test. But if you look at just the blue boxes, if someone has two minor symptoms or one major symptom, that qualifies. So two minor symptoms, fever, headache, sore throat, chills. And fever, by the way, can either be measured fever or subjective fever. They just feel like they've got a fever. If you have a subjective fever and you have a headache and you live in Collin County, you now meet the qualifications to be a probable COVID patient. It is remarkable how low the standard is now. Mm-hmm. If you have one of the major symptoms, you have a cough or you have shortness of breath, and you live in Collin County, then you can satisfy the definition for a probable COVID case. I don't think it can be overstated here that how much this could be taken out of context and could be giving a false narrative to our citizens and to our community.
You are being played. Do you understand what's happening? You are absolutely being played. Less than a month ago, on Inauguration Day, the World Health Organization, after conferring with the United States CDC, came out with a twofold directive in order to have less false positive tests regarding COVID-19. Throughout 2020, doctors and hospitals and clinics had been encouraged, if not pressured, to make the diagnosis of COVID-19 if we thought it was probable or presumed. We didn't have to have a positive test. And the symptoms were extremely broad-based. Cough, low-grade fever, shortness of breath. We see that a lot with colds, with allergy seasons, certainly with influenza. But that's all we needed to diagnose COVID-19. And that's why you saw influenza numbers plummet in March of 2020. So on Inauguration Day, the World Health Organization came out and said, one, physicians and hospitals and clinics should make certain that a patient with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 needs to have a positive test matched up to that syndrome of symptoms in order to diagnose COVID-19. Well, you know what's going to happen. That's going to eliminate a lot of the cases, because no longer is it going to be enough to look at a patient that's got a cough or low-grade fever and say, well, you've got COVID. Now it's got to be symptoms consistent with a positive test. The other thing that the World Health Organization was strongly encouraging was PCR testing should no longer be running at cycle thresholds at 40, 44, 45. It should be reduced into the realm of what we normally would use, understanding that PCR was never created to diagnose a viral disease. It was created for an entirely different purpose, but we've been using it to diagnose COVID-19, and we've been abusing it because we've been running the cycle so many times that in some studies, it was projected that possibly 85% of the positive PCR tests were false positives, such that 1,000 people being told that they have COVID-19, it was likely that less than 200 of them actually had COVID-19. And on Inauguration Day, finally, there were a couple of steps taken to rectify an unbelievably corrupt set of diagnostic criteria by which to make the diagnosis of COVID-19. And another thing, we're seeing a remarkable drop in the percentage of total U.S. deaths caused by cancer and heart disease. I wonder why. Do you think we found the cure to cancer and heart disease? You're being played.
With the testing, it's interesting to note that on January 20th, which is Inauguration Day, the World Health Organization instructed all of the labs to lower the cycle threshold and decrease the sensitivity. And what you saw was immediately, right here around January 20th, the cases dropped completely. The fatalities dropped completely once you, you know, lowered the cycle threshold to a more reasonable amount, and all of a sudden, Joe Biden fixed COVID and vaccines work.
The decision for unprecedented government mandated lockdowns has been based on the alleged death rate of COVID-19. Is this death rate based on truth? Inquiring minds want to know, are the reported deaths from COVID-19 truly deaths from COVID-19? To address this question, we need to discuss death certificates, since death certificates are the basic source of information about mortality. The discussion of death certificates is not a fun one. We have all grieved so many losses in our lifetimes. Still, we need to talk about it because they are the basis of the so-called death rate of COVID-19. History-changing decisions are being made due to these figures, despite the fact that they are flat out wrong, based on data that is insufficient and often inaccurate. Few people know how much individual power and leeway is given to the physician, coroner, or medical examiner signing the death certificate. How do I know this? I've been filling out death certificates for over 30 years. More often than we want to admit, we don't know with certainty the cause of death when we fill out death certificates. That is just life. We are doctors, not God. Autopsies are rarely performed. And even when an autopsy is done, the actual cause of death is not always clear. Physicians make their best guesstimate and fill out the form. Then that listed cause of death, whatever we list, is entered into a vital records data bank to use for statistical analysis, which then gives out inaccurate numbers, as you can imagine. Those inaccurate numbers then become accepted as factual information, even though much of it is false. So, even before we heard of COVID-19, death certificates were based on assumptions and educated guesses that go unquestioned. When it comes to COVID-19, there is the additional data skewer that is, get this, there is no universal definition of COVID-19 death. The Center for Disease Control, updated from yesterday, April 4th, still states that mortality, quote unquote, data includes both confirmed and presumptive positive cases of COVID-19. That's from their website. Translation, the CDC counts both true COVID-19 cases and speculative guesses of COVID-19 the same. They call it death by COVID-19. They automatically overestimate the real death numbers by their own admission. Okay, let's combine the information I've given you so far about the guesswork involved in filling out death certificates and apply it to COVID-19. The analysis that follows requires the presupposition that in today's medical climate, many, if not most, patients sick enough to be hospitalized will be checked for COVID-19. It also requires an understanding of what we know at this point, that most people who test positive for COVID-19 have mild or no symptoms. Therefore, testing positive for COVID-19 does not mean a person is sick with it, or if the person died, that they died from it. To drive this home, we need to understand how the CDC and National Vital Statistics System are instructing physicians to fill out death certificates related to COVID-19. Brace yourselves and please pay attention and let what I'm about to tell you sink in. The assumption of COVID-19 death can be made even without testing. Based on assumption alone, the death can be reported to the public as another COVID-19 casualty. The March 24th, 2020 National Vital Statistics System memo states, and I quote, "The rules for coding and selection of the underlying cause of death are expected to result in COVID-19 being the underlying cause more often than not." End of quote. The CDC report of cases in the US memo from yesterday states the death numbers are preliminary, quote, and have not been confirmed. So, quote, the results are preliminary and have not been confirmed, end of quote. It's from the CDC website. Here's a quote even more laden with meaning. Stephen Schwartz, National Director of the Division of Vital Statistics, says in answer to the question as stated in the organization's COVID-19 alert, quote, should COVID-19 be reported on the death certificate only with a confirmed test? Check out his answer, and I quote from this memo of which I have a copy, quote, COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused or contributed to death. Certifiers should include as much detail as possible based on their knowledge of the case, medical records, laboratory testing, etc. End of quote. I'm sure you all feel so reassured the government is asking doctors to provide their very best guesswork. Not. Fact, quote, COVID-19 caused death, end of quote, and quote, assumed death by COVID-19, end of quote, are not the same thing. And for those who died from something else and had an incidental finding of COVID-19 positivity, dying with COVID-19 is not the same as dying from COVID-19. I'm almost done, but want to clarify the process with another patient example. This is something that could happen commonly. It's not a specific patient I'm thinking of. Let's say it's a sick patient who goes into respiratory arrest at home. He is intubated at home by EMTs. They put a tube down his throat to help him breathe. He's taken to the hospital by ambulance, put on a ventilator in the ICU, put in antibiotics for presumed sepsis, given IV fluids because his blood pressure has bottomed out. The bacteria pneumococcus is found in the blood and sputum cultures. Pneumonia is seen on the chest X-ray. Despite the staff's best efforts, he dies 2 days after admission. Like I said, this is not an uncommon scenario. The patient was found to be COVID-19 positive, and the doctor has the option of listing on the death certificate that COVID-19 is the immediate or antecedent cause because the doctor theorizes that COVID-19 contributed. Either way, it goes into the data bank as caused by COVID-19. To reiterate, if a patient tests positive for COVID-19 and dies from another cause such as pneumococcal sepsis, it may be considered accurate to say that person died with COVID-19, not from COVID-19. Yet the CDC guidelines list as one more, they list this case as one more COVID-19 death, and then go to the next questionable death. They label that as COVID-19, and it goes on and on. You could see how these statistics have been made to look really scary when it is so easy to add false numbers to the official database. Those false numbers are sanctioned by the CDC as of their memo yesterday, April 4th. I have made physical copies of those memos in case more people start looking at their website and they decide it's too much truth for us. I hope I was able to make my point. The real number of COVID-19 deaths are not what most people are told and what they then think. How many people have actually died from COVID-19 is anyone's guess. Again, God only knows. But based on how death certificates are being filled out, you can be certain the number is substantially lower than what we are being told. Based on inaccurate, incomplete data, people are being terrorized by fearmongers into relinquishing cherished freedoms. Thank you. Oh, and I have a little PS. Forgot about. You can't have a true case fatality rate without testing massive numbers of people, but that is another topic. What is that old saying? Something along the line, figures don't lie, but liars sure can figure.
To be honest with you, all of the death certificates, they're writing COVID on all of the death certificates, whether they had a positive test, whether they didn't. So I think, you know, again, this is my personal opinion. I think, like, the mayor in our city, they're looking for federal funding, and the more they put COVID on a death certificate, the more they can ask for federal funds. So I think it's political. So I'm going to turn around and say, you know, like, not everybody that we have here that has COVID on a death certificate died of COVID. Can I prove that? No, but that is my suspicion.
So you think that they're just putting it on everyone who's dying?
They're putting it on everybody's death certificate to make life easier for them, because, like, the causes of death get proved right away. If you write COVID, I mean, listen, they're just pushing things out because they're overwhelmed, and it's just easier to write COVID on everything. That's my opinion.
So this isn't, like, we're not the first case of this happening?
Oh, absolutely not.
How often do you think this has happened?
Quite a lot.
So you've seen, like...
I couldn't give you a number, but quite a lot.
Okay. So you've seen other families at your funeral home?
Absolutely. I've seen people, you know, say COVID in the family, somebody never tested, we don't know, and they're writing it anyway. Because if, you know what, the law allows them, like, if it's in their medical opinion, it allows them to write it. So they don't even have to prove it.
So do you think that they're doing it to help the mayor, or...?
No, I think they're doing it to help the mayor. I think the mayor is ordering it from down, because the more deaths that they report from COVID, the more money they can go and ask the federal government for. They put 100 COVIDs, I'm going to tell you all 100 people didn't have COVID. How can I tell you what percentage? No, but I can tell you this is what they're doing.
And they're not even testing these people for COVID.
They're not even testing these people. If the doctor thinks you had COVID, he's allowed to write it down. You asked the question, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm sorry if the answer may not be what you want to hear, but I'll apologize for that. I just, you know, I'm not going to lie to people.
All putting COVID on a lot of death certificates because people that are going to their hospital, any kind of respiratory distress, respiratory problems, pneumonia, the flu-like symptoms lead into the COVID-19.
Sure.
So, you know, it's hard for them to put their finger on it.
So just to be safe, or what does it matter? I guess that's my confusion, is if he dies, he's got a heart condition, but they're going
to
say...
For me, all you're doing is you're padding statistics. You know, you're putting people on that have COVID-19. If they didn't have it, you're making the death rate for New York City a lot higher than it should be. A lot of people have been dying at home. Okay. And the problem is, the medical examiner, if you had a private doctor, the medical examiner would speak to the private doctor over the phone, clear it up, bing, bang, it's all done. But now, if you don't have a private doctor, and you aren't under any medical care, they're automatically putting down on the death certificate COVID-19, because they don't want to go, they're so overwhelmed, A, and B, they're not going out to houses anymore. They would go out to the house, they would investigate the scene, they would do some, you know, testing at the scene, and then come up with a conclusion as to he had heart disease. But now they're putting everything as COVID-19, so they're padding the numbers that are making it look like, you know, yes, we do have a lot of deaths. I'm not going to say we have been overwhelmed with them. But you start to say how many of them are actually COVID-19, or are the ME just putting it because they don't want to go to the scene?
Okay. Because my sister was,
I had a 40-year-old man that died in his house, okay? They didn't even go to the house. The guy had no underlying causes, no medical conditions. They released him from the house without even going, saying he had COVID-19 because he had a fever. But now, how do you know that's what he had? You don't. But now your death certificate shows he had COVID-19.
happy as hell.
No one's in there, guys.
It's absolutely dead.
Il y a personne. Regardez, on peut aller fouiller dans les couloirs, on peut faire absolument ce qu'on veut. Je comprends pas.
Not many people were in there at all.
Like a ghost town in this hospital.
We've just been locked down in Gloucestershire for an empty hospital. Look, I am so angry.
So there's nobody even in there?
Nobody's in there.
Nobody's in the hospital? How is that possible in a medical pandemic?
That's fake news, that's why. That's fake news, that's why. That's fake news, that's why.
I work for a large hospital system in Broward County, Florida, on the anesthesia team. Last night, the house nurse manager came to my department and told us that we must prepare for a COVID crisis that's going to start next week. And they're going, the hospital will be taking part of our recovery unit, anesthesia recovery unit, to house COVID patients, and that we cannot allow surgical patients' families to come visit them, which we do pre and post surgery, pre and post anesthesia. And I looked at her and I said, how do you know you're going to need our rooms, our bays? And how do you know there's going to be a crisis next week? She tilted down her glasses, she looked at me, and she said, you know what's going on by now. And I said, yeah, I do. And everyone else just went, oh, here we go again, and shrugged their shoulders. Does anyone else find this really strange besides me? It's about time that this whole corrupted, stinking system is brought down. Seriously. Because I'm really hating my job right now. I can't stand this corruption anymore. Please share.